Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes to us from our epistle lesson out of 1 John chapter 4, especially these words. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, so a couple of months ago, this was the Bible passage that I was given for my morning devotional reading. Beloved, let us love one another. Now, as it happens, on that particular morning, I had a 9 o'clock meeting in Cupertino, which meant that I had to be on Highway 85 going north at 8:30 in the morning. You want to talk about a test for beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. Hey, buddy, are you going to let me in, or am I just going to drive on the shoulder to Cupertino? Beloved, let us love one another. Pick a lane, any lane, I don't care which one. Beloved, let us love one another. That's right, your time is more important than all the other drivers on the road. Beloved, let us love one another. I could probably walk to Cupertino faster than this. You get the point, right? It was quite a test for me to put into practice what I had read in my morning devotions not an hour and a half earlier. But you and I hardly need to drive on Highway 85 North at 8:30 in the morning to be tested on whether or not we can love one another. We're tested on this in many and various ways. We're tested at work each and every day by lazy, annoying, selfish fellow employees. We're tested by their selfishness and their stubbornness. And yet God calls us, beloved, let us love one another. But we don't even have to leave home to be tested. We're tested at home, moms and dads, husbands and wives. The clothing is on the floor, 5 feet away from the hamper. The dishes are still sitting in the sink. Brothers still take unusual delight in torturing sisters, and sisters still respond inappropriately. Spouses can seem distant and tell you the same thing time and time and time and time again. Perhaps there's no greater place for attesting a beloved, let us love one another, than the home. And so it all seems a bit much, whether at home, at work, or on Highway 85 North at 8:30 in the morning on a work day. God calls us to love one another, and yet it seems almost impossible. And finally, we throw up our hands, and so we say back to God, love one another. Have you seen these people? Have you seen their behavior and how they treat each other, how they treat me? Love one another. How can I do that, God? How can I love stubborn drivers, lazy co-workers, or inconsiderate family members? How, God? How? And God answers, I did. I loved them. And you should too. When John writes in chapter 4, beloved, let us love one another, he isn't just throwing down a gauntlet. He doesn't just give us a command to love one another and say, figure it out. Instead, by God's inspiration, John tells us where love comes from. John tells us what love really looks like. And John shows us why it's important that we love one another. And so those are the three things we'd like to talk about this morning. Where does love come from? What does it really look like? And why is showing it so important? Where does love come from? John answers that question right off the top. Beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Love is not something you have to generate within yourself, as if you had to search deeper within to find it, to muster it. By nature, that's not going to work. By nature, we are sinful human beings. By nature, the most important person in our lives will always be us, ourselves. And so on our own, we don't have the innate goodness within to simply love more or even enough. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever decided, well, today I'm going to be a more loving person? How long did it last? Did you make it through breakfast? You see, on our own, by our own willpower, by our own strength, we will love more only up to the point of that first honk of the horn, of that first deadline missed by a coworker, the first incomplete task, the first unkind word spoken at home. Our ability to love that comes from within will always, always fail when we've been wronged. Standing on its own, the love we can generate from within ourselves is actually very, very weak and always fails in a battle with our own selfishness, our own stubbornness. So love cannot come from within you and be strong enough to overcome the world without. You can't look inside yourselves to fulfill John's call in 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another." Perhaps the most famous passage in the scriptures that deals with love would teach us to be stronger. We would find a love that is true and strong and lasting, and that can only come from God. Love that is born in God and based in God is eternally strong. We love because he first loved us. It's defined by him. 1 Corinthians 13, which maybe some of you had used at your weddings, tells us, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. God is the source of that love spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13. God is where love comes from. And I know that because I can take the word love out of 1 Corinthians 13 and replace it with God, and it still rings as true. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. So the answer to our first of our three questions this morning, where does love come from? Love comes from God. He is its source. He is the headwater. The second question we posited was, what does love really look like? Well, John, in his epistle, answers this one also in our reading. By this, the love of God was made manifest. That is, it was shown. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. To answer the question of what love really looks like, we need look no further than to a Friday afternoon outside of Jerusalem. Real love, the love of God, is seen in the giving over of Jesus Christ to be the propitiation, that is, the payment or atonement for our sins. Isn't it amazing? God looks down at the world with its horns honking, with its lazy co-workers and their poor treatment of others. He looks down on dysfunctional families, on unkind words spoken, and he loves. He loves us enough, even in the midst of all that chaos of sin, to send his own Son to die and rise and take care of it all. Love is not found in Hallmark cards with their pithy sayings. Real love is not found in whatever you can muster from within your heart or I can muster from within mine. Real love is found on a Friday afternoon, on a hill far away, on an old rugged cross. It is found in a Savior who, even as he is crucified, can ask for the forgiveness of those who crucify him. It is found in a Savior who, even as he dies, looks out to care for his mother and the disciple whom he loves. Real love is found in the dying last breath of a Savior who has committed himself to his tasks and ushers the words, "It is finished," and in them speaks your forgiveness and mine. Greater love has no one than this, than that he would lay down his life for his friends. My friends, Christ has laid down his life for you. And you will find no greater love than Christ upon the cross. What does real love look like? It looks like the crucified man and the risen Savior. Real love is found in Jesus. Real love comes from God and comes to you through Calvary and the resurrection. That brings us to our last question. Why do we need to show that kind of love? We've answered the questions, where does love come from? We answered the question, what does real love look like? Now, why do we need to show that kind of love? John answers those as well in 1 John 4. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. The answer to why we need to show that kind of love is really twofold. The first reason we need to show that kind of love is because it is a way of thanking God for the love we have received. Our love for one another, our love for even the other drivers on the road, for our co-workers and our families, is an act of thanksgiving for the love we have received in Jesus Christ. As we love one another, we show that we understand how much we have been loved. Our forgiving of those who wrong us is nothing more than a loving echo of the love of Christ who forgives soldiers crucifying him. Every act of love on our part becomes another verse in a lifelong song of thanksgiving for the love of Christ who gave himself for us. We love because we are thankful. We love because he first loved us. We love as an echo of his love. The other reason we need to love one another is because it is a way to witness to God. John tells us that no one has seen God. God isn't walking around like Jesus did. Jesus has ascended, and in his ascension has left us with a command to show other people God and his love. And that happens by our loving them. We manifest God, we witness to God in the love we show one another, in the love we show towards the world. Our love for one another becomes a witness to show the love of a hill far away, the love demonstrated in an old rugged cross, the love given by God, manifested in Christ, and extended to all men. We love one another not just for our sake, not just for the sake of the ones we are loving. We love one another for the sake of the world, that we might say, here is your God, here is true love, here is the one who takes away your sins and gives you eternal life. We love that the world might know the love of Christ, and in knowing him and believing, be saved. Beloved, let us love one another. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.